betray the law!
5, 4, 3, 2.
Engage.
Weekly Dose, prescribed by comic book therapy.
This is a time and a day for a comic book shop blues. I saw you looking around as I was skimming down the DC section of the comic book shop. I smiled at you, but you didn't notice me because you were texting yourself to make it seem like you were more wanted than anyone else. I know your style, I'm not even mad at you, girl. I walked on over just to say a simple hey. And I received a quick glance and a somewhat smile that'll tell a child, you did okay. This may not be the best outlet for you, but if you continue on, I will disown you. What comics are you looking to check out? I asked seductively. Well, I'm not sure what to get this week, she replies. What do you suggest? Well, my love, there's Batgirl 15 tying into a death of the family, which brings Joker and Barbara together since the shocking shooting of DC's past. Fun fact, by the way, Gil Simone was shockingly fired by the Joker like Brian Cunningham. No gunplay, no relation. Avengers Arena is also released, but the spoilers have already been posted. Let me give you a hint, baby. The black guy dies first. Does that tickle your ear? Confused, she says. No, I just want to get some comics. Well, there's Mask from Dynamite Comics, The Spider, Green Hornet and Kato, and The Shadow. Zorro's on the cover, but he's arrested for being Mexican. I can relate. At that moment, she gets the comics I recommended to her and leaves. There's one other thing she forgot. My number. Well, everyone, welcome to the Weekly Dose. This episode is number 12 and is titled Of Capes and Masks. I am your host, Xavier Dewberry, a.k.a. Muy Mariato. And with me on this podcast, I have Sir Witty.
The pleasure is all yours.
I have Norwood.
Hey, guys.
I have Cody.
Hello.
Whoa, you unzipping your pants there, Norwood?
That was not me. It was all Cody.
Jeez, Cody.
Was not I. It
takes about 20 minutes for Norwood to pull his piece out.
I'm not wearing any pants, so you're not stuffed
that long.
All I got is some basketball shorts because, not because I'm black. Just putting that out there.
Then why?
Because it's comfortable.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew it.
And then, of course, we have the lovely and the most suffering gentleman of this group who's upset, but we still show him our rear ends from time to time. Pedro.
Uber producer Pedro.
Good evening, infidels.
Witty recommends.
Everyone, your ears are about to be made love to by another shocking episode of Witty Recommends.
Yay!
Oh, I like that.
I need more tequila.
This week, the book I'm recommending is Gotham Central, written by Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka, with pencils by Michael Lark. This is the writing team that started together working on Officer Down, a Batman book following the No Man's Land story arc, which depicted Commissioner Gordon being shot and wounded in the line of duty. Following those events, there's a new commissioner in the series. It is a police procedural that basically focused on the real people dealing with all the freaks and capes. It's basically like NYPD Blue with fewer asses. The writers started the series together, then split up the day and night shifts of the MCU. The series is basically a big commercial failure, but it was really good. Big critical success. It concluded after 3 years and 38 issues. After Rucka and Lark left the series, then Brubaker ended all the storylines following the Infinite Crisis. There was even talks of it being a TV series at one point, but of course, Warner Brothers had a ban on Batman on TV. Aww.
Oh, dang it.
Really great series. The new collection is four parts and has all the complete series. Little confusing trying to buy those, especially on like an Amazon, because I think there was they had it all out of order, and there was a lot of really good books in it that were left out. One of the main things that was really good is they had the debut of Harley Quinn in the main universe.
Niceness.
So definitely have to get the right series for that. The first volume is In the Line of Duty, where Marcus Driver's partner Charlie is killed by Mr. Freeze while they're investigating a lead. And he is determined to bring Freeze down without the help of some nut job in pajamas and a cape. The series also featured Renee Montoya, who has her own storyline in this volume, where she is outed as a lesbian and accused of a crime. This arc won several awards in 2004. Basically, the art in the book is really strong. It's just like Batman Year One. And the whole series is kind of in that vein. It's realistic. They were doing realistic Batman far before freaking Nolan came up and said that he created realism. The characters are all really awesome. I mean, it seems like they just watched a TV show with real actors and then started drawing them. Batman is in it. Pretty much rare appearances, and he's kept in the shadows like a freak, and that's pretty much what all the cops think of him. For me, the best moment I thought was in Volume 4, where this female detective named Romy comes across Batman while he's quote-unquote interrogating a prisoner on the ground, begging for his life, and she hauls off and shoots him in the chest. After she's freaking out after the idea that she just shot the boogeyman, Batman jumps up at blinding speed, steals her gun, and breaks her nose.
Jeez.
It's just the total Batman's a dick and you don't want to screw with him. He stole her gun not to disarm her, but so she would have to report that she lost her gun in the line of duty. Any of you guys read this series?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Yeah, I've read it. It's pretty good.
I definitely want to read it now.
So it's a little hard to follow sometime because there's so many different cops and partners and whatnot. They really switch around the characters, and it's kind of hard to keep track of who's partners with who, but really good series. Definitely recommend it. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much for Woody Recommends. Much appreciated.
Background Blues.
As some of you have already heard, Gail Simone of the much popular Bat title looks to be forced off of Batgirl, as she was fired by
email from editor Brian Cunningham. It's definitely sudden and was completely way off field. And here's what Gail had to say about the shocking turn of events. On Wednesday of last week, new Batgirl editor Brian Cunningham informed me by email that I was no longer the writer of Batgirl. It is baffling and sad. I will probably have a statement later today or maybe tomorrow. But I want to give huge, huge thanks to the other creators in the Bat offices and editors Bobby Chase and at your pal Smitty, champions all. I honestly don't have the words right now to thank you all. I'm pretty choked up and it's all gratitude, not bitterness. I am very proud of what we accomplished with Batgirl and it was an honor to get to write Barbara Gordon again. Love that dame.
There's some bitterness, let's be honest.
Yeah, there has to be something there. I mean, what happened?
I don't know, man. She's always seemed like a really nice writer. Like, I've never heard of her, like, yelling at someone over Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I've never even, like you said, yelling at someone on Twitter or insulting anybody or so forth, but I think this was just like done in poor taste, especially to be fired by email. That's just ridiculous.
I mean, you couldn't grow the balls to walk up to her and say, "Here's your pink slip."
I know. Like, yeah. By the way, sad face. You're fired.
Yeah.
But you'll get a better job. Smiley face. You know, it's like, really? I mean,
I hope Marvel picks her up, man. She's a good writer, obviously, but I feel like they could use a woman's touch sometimes. And so,
well, there's plenty of women. DC just needs to not lose any more good writers.
Yeah, because they'll end up, honestly, like Marvel at the moment, where like some of their stories are kind of just like, who wrote it?
yeah. She's a great writer. I think, if they could get her, especially after this, because, if it's just his decision, his whole DC period, are they going to move her to another book? Or, this just left her out to dry? To me, it seems like that's the case.
Yeah. And that's what it looks like, because you would think that even if she were to be taken off of Batgirl, she would have another title lined up for her. But at this point, they were just saying, oh, yeah, she's off. And the fact that she even said herself that she's no longer the writer, you would think she would already have a project lined up, but she doesn't. And I think that was just a big move from DC.
Was she supposed to, like, report on it? Or you would think, like, the company would want to say, hey, we took her off, this is why, or we have this person lined up for the book and we have this lined up for her, but...
Yeah, but nobody's saying anything. That's the... I guess that's their own version of don't ask, don't tell.
And those are the editors, it seems like they pick like some of the dumbest people to be editors of these things. Like, all their decisions don't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Cody, what do you have to say about this?
I don't know. I read a couple of DC books, but I mean, I don't really read that much, so I can't comment too in depth about it, but they obviously had some sort of editorial problem with all the stuff that's been going on the past couple of months.
Yeah.
52 was very successful, and now it seems like a lot of shenanigans are going on behind the scenes, so I don't know.
Maybe some people are just letting it get to their head, and they're trying to overexert, their ability of these already talented writers and artists. Well, some talented writers and artists, try to overexert them, and it's like, if you entrusted these people with the titles, let them run with the title. Your job as an editor to make sure that things are going smoothly, but and yet make sure that the books are selling. And if these top writers are selling their books, what's the problem?
Well, I mean, they're already like overworking them, because Scott Snyder dropped off of Swamp Thing yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was.
So, I don't know what's going on. The books are pretty good. I mean, they, got rid of the really crappy ones, which I foresaw that early on.
Yeah.
Like Hawk and Dove and stuff like that. But, now they're, like, getting the actual good books, and they're starting to get rid of these writers, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're going pretty strong right now.
They are.
I don't understand what... I guess Scott Snyder said he quit because he was just doing too much, and maybe that's true. I don't know how many books he was writing, but, man, you'd really want to think they'd want to keep a good writer on a book like Swamp Thing, because...
No, without it,
they're just starting that book out, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly new. I mean, it's, what, 12 issues? I don't know what it is, but, I mean, nobody reads that, really. You know, everybody's, like, a huge Swamp Thing fan, and when him on there, you know, I was reading Swamp Thing. You know, I used to be a fan as a kid, and I had a couple of them, issues of it, and it was okay, but, you know, Scott Snyder actually made me pick it up, and I believe it's at, like, 15, Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 15 now, but... You know, what are they going to do after he leaves? I mean, I foresee that book dropping off, like Hawk and Dove and all the others, Grifter and all those.
And that's, well, that's the sad thing, too, because since they already have so much going for Swamp Thing as a character, like, they already have him crossing paths with Animal Man, which is another great book from DC. You know, like, they have these titles, and they have, like, the quality there, but yet... You know, like you said, when you already have the familiar writers that would bring in the extra draw to these different characters that you wouldn't regularly read, but yet when their name's already gone, it's like, well, who are we going to be able to attach to this book now that's still going to be able to deliver the same amount of quality and still bring in the same amount of draw so that we continue on making sales for this character?
Seems like if you took one of the Batman books away from Scott Snyder, and what is he doing, like six of them? It's like people would still read Batman books.
Yeah, because it's the name. You know, Batman is one of the most well-known characters, and anybody who, even people who have not even read a comic book, know who Batman is. You know, and so it's like that's a given. You know, anybody could sit there and be like, oh, heard of Batman, I might as well read the comic book. You know, they'll read it. You know, so it's like...
Even a 12-year-old orphan in Gotham City knows who Batman is, apparently.
Yeah.
Just by looking in his eyes.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't surprise anyone.
He hasn't been Batman for like 8 years.
Doesn't matter.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, anyone can write Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Batman is like the highlight of pretty much every writer's career, and it's the best work they do, but... There's not many people that know what to do with Swamp Thing.
Yeah, they're like, do we keep him in the swamp? Swamp Thing meets Shrek? I mean, what?
Yeah, what I really enjoyed it, but now I don't know, man. It's one of those, I don't think they've announced who's going to start writing it from now on, so, you know, it's going to be iffy if I even pick it up anymore. Batman, man, I keep that in there. All the Batmans.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Yeah. My fault. But, well, you know, I might keep it on for a couple, because, I mean, I feel like he has his story planned out, and they'll finish it, hopefully. And, you know, I want to see what he was going to do with, the whole character, but...
Yeah, like I thought about checking out the Sandman trade paperback, just like Woody recommended a couple weeks ago, but I decided to get that book with some... boobs and explosions on it. So.
It's time to go into darkness.
Star Trek Into Darkness. I know we covered this on our last podcast a lot, but then a lot more has been revealed since then. Alice Eve was, you know, announced as being a part of this movie, and her character was actually revealed to be Dr. Carol Marcus. To which, in all honesty, that may be a misdirection, because she resembles, you know, very much so like Elizabeth Dinner of The Wrath of Khan. And...
Benedict Cumberbatch is revealed to be John Harrison, but yet this could also be another possible misdirection. And I am definitely looking forward to this. I love what, you know, J.J. Abrams and company are doing. But one thing that I do want to ask them is to please stop screwing with our minds. just stop. Please. Like, my head nearly exploded the other day just because I was just trying to, like, link everything together. I was like, wait a minute, what about this? What about that? You know, and there's, like, so many character possibilities for one because of the fact that it's an alternate timeline. And anything can happen, you know. So many, like, iconic scenes and characters are being touched upon from, like, the original series to, like, even further on and later to, like, to Enterprise. It's like, holy crap. You know, so where do we go? What's going on? What's actually taking place? You know, and it's definitely a big, huge misdirection and a completely mind screw, big time.
Maybe he's just playing John Harrison.
New character, huh?
How about that?
I mean, if he's playing as John Harrison, then it's a possibility that he could be, like, you know, a bioengineered, you know, individual, because no one's not going to be able to sling, like, you know, debris from buildings to smack someone else in the face with it, you know, and, like, literally obliterate an entire, you know, city. Like, John Morrison's like, hi, I'm John. No, I mean, that doesn't make any... It's a lot more, you know.
No one's saying there's not a lot more, but maybe that's just his name and they just haven't told you the story yet. Like, who do you assume that he is?
Well, I mean, Gary Mitchell.
Yeah, there's...
Khan!
Yep, there's a lot of people. There's, like, Gary Mitchell, there's Khan, and there's, like, a third guy that came up was John Frederick Paxton. You know, and Paxton...
Peter Weller's character.
Yeah, Peter Weller's character was Paxton from Enterprise, and lo and behold, Peter Weller is in the movie. You know, so it gives you a lot to really just cover and to think, you know, okay, so what is going on? What are they taking from this? Because when you see, like I said, it's a different timeline. You know, maybe it is a mind... Maybe they are just screwing with their minds. Or maybe what you're saying, Witty, that he may just be regular, you know, a John Morrison character, John Harrison, actually.
Maybe they haven't even seen all these Star Trek episodes you're talking about.
Well, you know, Enterprise was the one that came out, the last one with Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can pull from any of these universe, you know, anybody, you know, that was Enterprise or, you know, the original Star Trek, because all those characters are there to pull from, you know. I mean, even he could pull from Q if he wanted to, because, you know, he's, you know, omnipotent, so he could be anybody, you know. He's exactly. Basically a god. They could pull, he could be him, for all we know. But it's one of those things where, you know, it could be a misdirection, or they could have just listed it as John Harrison, and that's actually who he is, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not too sure, because the way J.J. Abrams is, he doesn't like letting his secrets out, you know, right in the open from the beginning. He's kind of secretive about things, too, but, you know, it could have just been John Harrison or whatever it could be. He could be just a new character he invented for it, because since it is alternate timeline, it could have happened to John Harrison instead of Gary Mitchell, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, when he went to the barrier and then he got zapped, yeah.
But there is, you know, he's wearing the Starfleet, I guess it's a uniform. It's not really a uniform, it's the actual shirt, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's black, you know. I don't know if we've seen that. I know we've seen the gray, you know, uniform that Spock wore in the first one. But, you know, it shows clearly that, you know, everybody's not going to be wearing Starfleet uniform. And if it... You know, it is Gary Mitchell. You know, he was still wearing the Star, you know, the uniform afterward.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, it's a whole, you know, all the evidence leads to him.
Yeah, or maybe he could be a random red shirt who was sent on a mission and he got killed, and then, you know, he ended up having powers and he came back and he was like, "You guys left me."
and so started having his revenge against Enterprise.
Yeah, well, you're wearing a red shirt. Of course he left you. We didn't even wait for you to die.
He's the guy that fell off the platform in the first movie. And, like, it's Smut turned his shirt all black like that. He's going to go after Sulu for letting him go.
Maybe he's V'ger. V'ger teamed up with God from Star Trek V. I want to see that movie.
Oh, that would be hilarious. That would take my money big time.
But with what's her name? What's the girl's name? I can't remember. Alice Eve.
Alice Eve, yeah.
Cut this part out, Pedro. But Alice Eve, with her in there, you know. But we know for sure that Kirk and her are going to get it on, and maybe possibly she'll get pregnant in the next movie, or maybe she's pregnant in this movie. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because we don't know how much time has gone by, but we know that he hasn't fully earned the trust of the crew, apparently, from the description of the movie. So, you know, it can't be too far. You know, they're just meeting the Klingons, or a new edition. So there's that, so we know they're not too far into it.
So bad, I want Christopher Lloyd back.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd was awesome, yes.
Christopher Lloyd was the first Klingon to look like that. He defined Klingon for 20 years.
Man of Steel with a beard. Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
The trailer premiered today at 12 in the afternoon. After watching this trailer, I asked myself, is Zack Snyder really directing this? I do like the tone of it. I'm really fired up about this movie. Like, even when Superman Returns came out, I wasn't so hype about it. Like, I didn't feel anything towards the movie, but I'm just happy to be able to see Man of Steel, be able to see the trailer, and to actually see the suit. You know, and not get like the Smallville series finale disappointment where it's like a CGI suit and just Tom Welling's head on there. It's like an actual suit, and like, you know, Henry Cavill is like being Clark Kent, you know, and he has the build as Clark Kent. There's a lot. So what are you guys' thoughts on a Man of Steel trailer?
I think the both of them are awesome. I think the first one and the second one both set like a tone that this was going to be an actual thoughtful movie without just having emo Superman stalk Lois Lane. might actually get into why his character is worth seeing about. You know, all you ever hear from people that don't like Superman is he's perfect and no one can hurt him and there's no drama to that, but it looks like he's trying to figure his stuff out, and you know they're going to bring the action, and both of those trailers are just awesome. I really love this new one.
I differ with Witty. I didn't really think the first one, the first trailer, I mean, didn't really do anything for me. It's kind of like Instagram the movie. You just kind of figured bearded Superman on a fishing boat, and then just kind of walking down the highway and stuff. But this one, I thought this one was really interesting. I thought it was a pretty good trailer.
I agree with Cody about the first trailer. It was very uneventful. I mean, the second one definitely set a kind of tone that this wasn't going to be another Donner movie. And that, I think that's a good thing. You know, Donner had his day, and then Bryan Singer came in with Superman Returns and didn't just, you know, have an homage to you know, Donner. It was like this, just a sequel to the movie. It kept the same tone and everything, and I didn't like that at all. And this movie, I mean, I know how you say it doesn't seem like a Snyder movie because, you know, the lack of slow motion is one for one thing, but
yeah.
I like to see how, you know, how he's doing with Superman. It seems like he's actually going to be fragile in a personal way. You know, he can break, you know, bend steel and all this, but, you know, he's got a whole lot to deal with because, you know, I guess when he finds out, you know, his home planet, he's an alien and all this stuff, and if the planet's destroyed, you know, how is that going to affect him? And I think Snyder's going to touch that a lot, but then he's going to bring the action, too.
Yeah.
And I noticed in the trailer, you know, I don't see a whole lot of crystals and stuff like the Donner movies, the Fortress of Solitude. I think we caught a glimpse of at least the foyer of the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
And it looks very alien. And I think that's where, you know, his costume comes in. It's going to be like an alien, you know, suit, like in the comics. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I hadn't been excited for a Superman movie for a long time.
Yeah, man. Like, I just remember just the set pictures when it was, like, released. Because, like, I remember they had, like, you know, revealed the picture of Superman. It was in front of the vault and everything. Everyone's like, ah, that's the suit. That's just Henry Cavill just being, you know, big within the suit and everything. And the next time they show, like, a shirtless picture of this guy, it's like, or like burned clothes on him. Everyone's like, that bot, dang! You know? Because it's like, the dude's big, you know, he's ripped. And, you know, it's like, this guy is really putting, like, all this effort and his heart into playing Superman to make sure that he captures every aspect of it. You know, and I can't wait to be able to see more. I mean, I am a sucker for Amy Adams. I mean, I do love her as an actress, you know, and even though many people feel that she's not, you know, great as Lois Lane, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm pretty sure she can pull it off. You know, she has a lot of great roles within like the past few years, and I definitely have faith that she'll be able to pull it off.
You know, when I saw this trailer, and I saw when they were out on, like, I guess it was the airstrip or something.
Yeah.
And Superman and her were, like, looking at each other right then. I was like, yeah, I think she can do the Lois justice. Just something about her during that scene, that little glimpse, it just told me, you know, this is going to be the Superman movie we've been waiting for our whole lives. It's going to be, I think, you know, the whole thing with him being bearded and going out, you know, on the fishing boat is him trying to find himself.
I find that very weird that he's sporting a beard. But having said that, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Just, well, you know,
there's something about him having a beard and doing that whole, you know, sabbatical year type thing that he goes to find himself, quote unquote, that just appeals. You know, it's something that Superman would do, you know.
Yeah.
So at one point, you probably had this thing on his mind. They would go, well, what do I do now? Okay, I have this power, and what do I do now? What can I do? Should I do it? Do they deserve that I do it? You know.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I got these powers. What am I going to do? I'm going to go fishing. See you guys later.
I don't think it's that. I think it's
he's walking the earth like Kane in Kung Fu.
Exactly. That's what it is. He's trying to figure out his place in the world because, you know, he has all these powers, but, you know, what is he going to do with them? And I think that's the main question. He's trying to figure this out. And, you know, you see a couple scenes with that school bus thing, and I think that's going to be a flashback memory right there when he's looking at a school bus.
Yeah.
You know, he saves the kids, but then, you know, it shows a scene with his father kind of scorning him about, you know, letting his powers out. So, you know, he doesn't know what to do. And he's trying to figure this out. You know, it reminds me of the animated Justice League cartoon where he goes into the future or whatever.
Oh.
I'll think he's dead, and he grows the beard, and he's really... It reminded me of that, and I'm like, yeah, this is badass.
Best episode ever.
Seriously. And it really reminded me of that a lot. And I don't know, man. I'm happy. This trailer really made me happy. I mean, like when Amazing Spider-Man, they showed the trailers for that, I was like, eh. But, you know, this came out, I was like, shit, man, this is going to be a good movie. Finally.
Yeah. And like, one of the things that, just a glimpse of, like, I know it's pretty simple, but I kind of like be able to, like, read into the, you know, the scene and be able to see the meaning and the feeling behind it. Like, seeing him cuffed, you know, and walking, you know, when he was under arrest, you know, and he was cuffed. When I saw that, like, I saw so much humility. Like, he was so humble to the point that, you know, as powerful as he is, he still allowed for himself to be taken in.
Right. You know, and it's like, he could have easily just been like, you know, oh, fuck these cuffs, and just broke a cuff, you know, and just like,
well,
he goes, I'm a Superman, all you guys, you know, could have did all of that, you know, but he just remained calm. Just walked along.
I'm gonna Superman you guys good. Feel me, son? Feel me?
During that point, he's trying to fit in as a human, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if at this point he even knows he's Superman or, you know, he's an alien, but I'm guessing he does.
Yeah.
But he wants to keep, you know, this is his new home, so he's gonna follow these laws that he was, you know, he's raised with. And that's, I think, a respect to his, you know, Pa Kent, basically.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that scene, that show, when, you know, his dad's talking to him about, you know, the thing, and then he asks, you know, what should I do, let him die? And then they cut, and then, you know, Pa Kent said maybe. I don't think they cut it right. I don't think that's exactly what he says. But
yeah.
I think maybe they just cut, like, a couple of words out and then just left maybe to make us
there
think.
There could be
that,
a lot more to it, but That scene kind of blew me away, because it's like, whoa.
Yeah, no.
Never heard that out of him.
Yeah.
Never heard that out of Pa Kent before.
You'll watch the movie and it'll be like,
let them die.
Should I just let them die? And he'll be like, maybe you did the right thing, son.
That's what I kept thinking, because it's kind of like a little jump there. You're like, okay, there's like a pause between there. And I don't think they did it right, but maybe they want us to think about, you know, this, maybe Pa's, Ken's kind of an asshole in this, but, you know, I hope they don't go that direction. But I think he's just trying to protect his son. And I think they're really going to humanize him. And it's weird, because I think Bryan Singer wanted to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he made, like you said, Witty, they made him like a stalker. Stalking Lois Lane. And
I was just joking, but I see your point.
No,
I mean,
but it's true, though. He was like,
you know, just compare, like, their looks. I actually enjoyed Superman Returns and Brandon Routh, but it's like, if you really look at him in that movie, it's like, not a hair's out of place. It looks like, he looks like he's plastic in the movie.
Yeah, he
does. he's so made up. His eye, he's got bright contacts in. His hair doesn't move. You know, it's like, you don't see his muscles, which Ralph actually got really built in that movie, but he's like vacuum sealed in this suit.
And he's so tall that it's lean. He looks leaner than he actually appears.
He kind of looked alien in the movie, but really he kind of looked like a mannequin in the movie.
Yeah, I know what you got. Like that guy that got the surgery to look like Superman. He looks like that guy.
Yeah.
The Asian guy?
Yeah, the Asian guy. He looks like that guy. I mean, he looks like him. And,
it's just totally different. I mean, you know, this Superman, he looks rough and tumble. He has, body hair. He has a beard. He doesn't stand out as being a mannequin, like, in a large crowd, you know. They seem to be taking a real humanistic approach to it this time around.
His chest hairs are popping out of his suit, like his neck, like going to his beard. You know, it's funny. It's funny seeing that.
Like
scene.
Superman Joker with mustaches poking out.
If you go back and watch it when he's when he's on the airstrip with Lois Lane, you could see the chest hairs come out of his suit there, and it's kind of funny. I'm thinking, man, he's a hairy. Like, dude, but you know, they actually showed a glimpse of Zod in there too.
Yeah,
and you could tell a little bit of the armor that he had. It's you know, it's kind of like shoulder pads and stuff. But there was this scene that showed where they're like beside the building and they're flying against each other. I'm not sure if that's Zod or not. That could be one of the other guys. Mm-hmm. But he looked like a pretty big dude, and the way it looks almost robotic, like an exoskeleton in that scene. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, I think he's going to bring the fighting, because that's what, Snyder's pretty good at that, so I don't think he's going to let down fans at all.
I think that's the first thing he said when he got the job.
Yeah.
Someone will get punched.
You know, I don't think the trailer showed all the fights, like, you know, like the Thor trailer kind of did. You know, they basically showed all the fighting in that trailer, but I think there's more to it.
I'm sure they'll have, like, an action trailer at some point.
just a highlight, or maybe like a Zod Center trailer.
Oh, that would be awesome. You know, yeah. I was kind of really unhappy about Zod, but now now I don't even care. Now it's the point.
Because now I'm kind of actually curious about Ursula too.
Well, I don't think it's Ursula in this one.
Fiora.
I think so. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I believe so.
All right, his first lieutenant.
Yeah.
They should connect the universe in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you then.
Yeah, I was waiting.
Pause there. He should catch Aquaman in one of those nets. and kill him.
Broke Back Mountain scene with them. But it'd be like I don't want to think of a name for the ocean, ocean something. And it's like, I wish I could quit you.
He goes, I opened these tuna cans and laid around the bed for you.
And Clark is there too in this movie.
He's skinny. I think that makes him an otter.
I mean, he's kind
of concerned. You know the classifications.
I'm fascinated by the classifications. I don't want to watch it. I just want to know the classifications.
So you know, like if somebody's hitting on you, you're like, okay, yeah, otter. Here.
I'll show the secret hand signal. Otter, stay away.
Aquaman just shows up in the net, strangled up. Bearded Clark is there. He's going, "Who the hell are you, man?" And he goes, "I'm Aquaman." Okay, well, what do you do? I talk to fish. Oh, okay. Let me help you there. And he just grabs him and throws him.
Can you help me with my fishing mission?
That's when he decides to become Superman. He's like, if people can accept you, I'm going to start flying around. Oh, you're an Aquaman fan? I didn't know that.
You know that.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Hey, I will say the new Aquaman of DC 52 was amazing.
Oh yeah, I agree with that because he makes fun of himself in like the first issue. He's like, basically says he's a crappy superhero.
Yeah, the cops are like, no, we don't need the cops. They're like, no, we don't need your help. We're good here.
Yeah, they're like, Aquaman
ever calls himself a crappy superhero. He pretty much says, fuck you guys, then.
Then he's like, wait, so what do we get you? A glass of water or something?
Yeah, exactly.
He more gives people that. Are you guys retarded? Look, I just saved your lives. You, I'm out of here.
And then he was eating fish. And goes, you actually eat fish? He goes, don't you talk to them? It was just so much gold. It was just hilarious.
I don't remember the line, but he says something to the effect of, "Do you know how retarded a fish is?"
Comic book time.
Peter Parker, all the new fans will come in, they'll forget Peter Parker. Okay, then why is Peter Parker Spider-Man in the Avengers now?
And in the cartoon, and in the movie.
So what's the f***ing deal, man?
No one's ever going to forget Peter Parker, come on.
Yeah, no, go ahead. He's too iconic.
We need a new Wolverine. Let's kill Wolverine and call someone else Wolverine now. It'll be edgy.
I mean, when I read that, dude, I was pissed.
Yeah, my sister was pretty pissed about that, too. She was like, she said she's not going to be above, like, reading the new series, but she said still, it doesn't matter. She said that Spider-Man is, Peter Parker will always be Spider-Man, you know?
Superior Spider-Man? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's saying Peter Parker wasn't great as Spider-Man.
Exactly. It's like he had, you're all sitting there saying he had a great run, he did all he could do. I'm like, but he had some pretty beast stories. I mean, granted, you had a Clone Wars happen with like the Spider-Man and stuff like that, and then of course you had, Ben Reilly and so forth, and you got all these different characters, but at the same time it's like, Peter Parker is Peter Parker, but I still think, because the fact that they did already reveal it, that's likely the new Spider-Man is going to be Miguel O'Hara.
Which is, I mean, is it going to be the same one from 2099 or whatever, or is it going to be a totally different guy?
I mean, like, that's the confusing thing, like, you know, especially since the fact that the story isn't completely done yet, especially with Doc Ock still being in Peter Parker's body, it's like, would you think that Madam Web would, like, send Miguel O'Hara to try to, you know, help out or even, like, knock the time out? I mean, I just don't want it to be, like, another time kind of story, you know?
Yeah, it's... See, I picked up the book because I was like, okay, if Peter Parker dies, I have to have this book. So yeah. I got the last two, the 698 and 699 or whatever, and, you know, he called on the, I guess, the Sinister Six. I guess there's only like four of them, though, but they broke them out. And I'm like, okay, where's it going to go from here?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it gives me a little bit of hope, but then what's going to happen to him? That guy ruined it for me, and he's going to die.
Yeah.
Is he going to go to hell and then, like, there's going to be a storyline where he's trying to break out of hell like Wolverine did or something?
Yeah, and then, like, another person that Wolverine knew, like Puck. Like, it'll be, like, another guy. It'll be, like, another guy related to Spider-Man. And there's Spider-Man mythos. And be like, oh, you're here. You're in hell, too?
Neo's going to be down there?
Whoa.
Gwen Stacy, you're in hell?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to stay.
She was sleeping with her brother. I don't know, man, because, I mean, wouldn't this go against the contract that he made with Mephisto, or is that just out of the hole? That isn't even...
Who knows? I think they're just, like, trying to shoot it just for whatever else. I mean, they don't even know where they're at with the story and everything.
Because, I mean, I don't remember. What did he give up? Did he give up just... being with, it was Gwen Stacy, I mean,
it was a Mary Jane.
Mary Jane and all that, but I mean, I would think he would have took his soul too. That's which leads me to believe he's going to hell after this, after he dies.
I don't think you'll ever see one more day mentioned again in Marvel continuity, honestly. Like, that's just the way to get him.
Will not come back.
No, she's there. She owns a nightclub now. That's just a way to get him unmarried because he's like, yeah, Aunt May gets to live. You all get to remember everything you did as a couple. You just weren't married.
There's that one scene in 699 where he's trying to remember.
Stupid.
Trying to remember Doc Ock's memories. He's trying to, like, get a hold of how to get out of there, what happened. And then he remembers, like, marrying Aunt May. And then Aunt May's like, oh, quit, you fuddy-duddy. We can do this before we're married. It, like, they're going to have sex or something. He's like, oh, man, I'm never going to mention this again. I'm laughing my ass off during that scene. I was like, oh, my God. So they actually fucked. And then, like, it's funny because Aunt May looks all, like, you know, young and shit now in the comics.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like that anymore.
Well, I guess she gets older, she gets younger.
Yeah, she's got...
DC has it right. They don't... It's like, while they try to keep their characters stunted forever, they actually reset shit every now and then so they can tell. It's like fucking... Spider-Man's not fucking broke. They've just had nowhere to take him since he got married. It's like...
You know, he got the new job and all that, and he was successful. Yeah. They're like, okay, let's screw Peter Parker over because he's been a pretty good year.
They have nowhere to go with his life from there, and it's like you either take his life somewhere or you reset all your books and start telling them over, you know?
Yeah.
Those stories, I mean, people haven't actually read those stories, so how can they be sick of them?
And
the first thing, like, everyone wants to see when they're doing a movie or a cartoon is we want to see those stories again.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't picked up Fantastic Four number one, please do. This was, like, it was really great. It's Matt Fraction and Mark Bagley was doing the art. And dude, the reveal in this thing is incredible. So, yeah, you have to pick up this. I mean, I don't even read Fantastic Four, but I picked it up because this is number one. So I wanted to see what was going on. And then, you know, Mr. Fantastic's hiding a secret from everyone, and he's decided he wants to blast everybody into space for an adventure, quote, you know. So,
yeah, I know. Like, remember the last time?
Back.
Do what now?
Is the Human Torch back yet?
Oh, yeah, he's back. He's been back.
Is it the actual Fantastic Four?
It's still the, I guess, the future. They're still wearing, like, the white outfits. But they're trying to get back. I can tell they're trying to get back to the adventures that they're trying to do. I mean, that's the way they make it sound. And what happens to Mr. Fantastic, you know, he's trying to find, I don't want to, you know, spoil it for you, but he's trying to find something. That's why he's trying to go into space. And I guess they're going to start having adventures from there on. Kind of like they used to.
That'd be finally good, because that's pretty much what the basis of their books were known as. They were just, you know, pretty much just traveling from different planet to planet, or trying to, you know, just pretty much like just as a family, like discover, you know, new elements.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to go back to, I can see. And, you know, with them leaving, you know, they won't have anything to do with anybody else. But,
exactly.
The way Mr. Fantastic, he says we're going to leave somebody behind, so I'm guessing he's going to leave some kind of robot or something behind as Fantastic Four, so they can have a placeholder.
Or like Archie.
Yeah, something like that. But the way, you know, what happens in the story, I mean, it's unbelievable, so y'all should pick that one up.
So, no one's found out, like, who the new Spider-Man is?
It was spoiled on Twitter, like, so everybody's thinking it's probably Miguel O'Hara, because, like, the writer was like, hey,
I believe that was Red Herring, because there's been some other stuff since then that's making it seem like it's not, so we'll see.
I hate all this stupid legacy shit. No, this is Ben O'Reilly. No, this is Crimson Spider-Man. No, this is Venom Spider-Man. Part 4.
It's Flash Gordon.
You know, really what I hope doesn't happen in the Spider-Man, Dr. Octopus has Peter Parker's memories too, so maybe I hope they don't do this. It's his memories start taking over, and then Dr. Octopus just becomes Spider-Man from then on, and it's like, you know, he just kind of fades. His memories start fading, and it's just Peter Parker's memories left. That would be messed up, because then in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, that's really Dr. Octopus, not Peter Parker. And if they do that, man, I'll be so pissed.
That's just the clone saga all over again, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they did? They said, oh, Ben Reilly's the real Spider-Man. The one you've been reading for 20 years is fake. People didn't like that.
Well, they'll come back, and that'll probably be the deal, because, you know, they brought back the whole stupid Spider Island, which was dumb to me. I hated that whole thing. And they brought back that Spider Island thing, which means nothing's, you know, even one more day or whatever, that's not even off limits here. I'm feeling like to bring Peter Parker back, you know.
Like I said, they just don't have, I guess when it comes to some of their older properties, they just don't have the vision or the coherent as to what they want to do with their characters. Like, I mean, there's some people, there's some stories that they are doing fantastic. I mean, like, especially, I know one of the stories is, like, you know, Uncanny X-Force, you know, things like that where there is a clear vision as to what they want to do. But just with some people, like, they just run the character to the ground as opposed to trying to explore the character even more and try to bring out some new life or try to create some new elements to the character. You know, they just run them down to the ground and they're like, oh, I guess you can't return from where we left off, so we got to go from there.
Yeah, I think some of the books, they need to actually return to the roots because they strayed too far from the character.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, you could do something brand new, like, they made Batwoman, and it's its own book. They don't have to redo anything. They don't have to screw anything up. It's not like, oh, this is Batgirl Part 4. It's like, no, there's one Batgirl. Legacy characters are, like, the biggest scam ever.
or like Mary Jane being like Spider Woman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at you, Miles Morales.
All right,
Spider-Man,
he's doing his thing.
You're the new Coke.
I briefly mentioned Thunderbolts. I don't recommend that at all. I saw the cover, and I didn't even look in. I was like, yeah, man, that looks awesome. So I picked it up, and then I didn't see Steve Dillon's name on it. So I wasted money on it. I didn't even get the paper cover, for God's sakes. I picked it up, and then I opened it up, and I saw Steve Dillon's work, and I was like, why did not look in this book? I just picked it up on the whim, and it's horrible. Like, Cody, I mean, you put it the best about the way he draws women.
I liked his Punisher, Punisher Max? Where Punisher was really the only hero, and you had Kingpin, of course, and stuff, but it was pretty much just Punisher, but all his characters look like Punisher. Elektra looked like female Punisher with a wig. Red Hulk looked like Red Punisher. If you took Deadpool's mask off, he probably looked like scabbed over Punisher. I don't know.
Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Black face Punisher.
But the writing was, it was okay. It was Daniel Way. Was the writer. It wasn't so bad. It's setting up the Thunderbolts, you know, General Thunderbolt Ross is basically recruiting the new Thunderbolts. And so, you know, it's a number one. It's not going to be great, but I just hope soon they just take Dillon off, period, because I think he's past his prime. I mean, if he ever had one, honestly. Let's see. Next, I want to talk about Uncanny Avengers number 2. It wasn't great. I don't recommend picking that up, at least. I don't know if it's going to get any better, because I'm not a X-Men fan, and that's what this book's basically about. But they're X-Men on the Avengers team, and it's all about Havoc, and, you know, this actual issue was just Ed Rogue and Scarlet Witch, and it was basically all about them, and then they threw in the Red Skull. Also, he has some kind of, like, mashed up his powers with Xavier, so now he can control minds.
Oh, nice.
So there's that aspect there. Batman number 14 was awesome. I'm just going to say pick it up. It had the Joker in it, and he's coming back, and he's, like, more disturbed than ever. Yeah, go ahead and pick that one up. And The Masks number 1, I know Cody read that one, so I'm going to let you talk about that. Yeah.
I read that one too. Beautiful book.
Yeah, Dynamite. It's all the old noir characters. You've got Green Hornet, the Shadow, the Spider, Zorro. Basically, the old 1930s and stuff Avengers is kind of the way I would describe it. Written. The first issue had art by Alex Ross, and that was the first time he's done interiors in quite a while, so it was pretty exciting to see him doing art again. And I thought it was really good, Dez.
Oh, yeah.
You said you liked it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Like, I'm a huge Alex Ross fan, and being able to read the book, like, everything just flowed perfectly, and, like, the characterization, the coloring, and just the art in general was just perfect, and I definitely love the expressions. I love just the actual story of it, too. It just made it more intriguing. Like, I think that's what, like, reading Masks, like, it definitely showed the best marriage between writing and art, because it played off of each other very well, and it kept you into the book. And even though, like, the majority of the book had its main focus on the Green Hornet and Kato and the Shadow, you know, then you also, towards the middle of the book, you also started seeing, you know, Zorro, but yet, of course, he got into a little, trouble with the Popo, so to speak. You know, he got arrested because he was brown-skinned, you know, and I kind of laughed at that because I could relate, but but yeah, you got Zorro showing up, and then of course, you know, also with Spider showing up at the opportune time too. So it's like, it's definitely, you know, real interesting to see all these characters interact with one another, and all of them having a common purpose. You know, of course, with having a blurred line between you know justice, and just being able to stay on that side of things and being able to exact just that. And a fantastic book. I loved it.
The only bad thing I could say is that Alex Ross is only doing the first issue. That's not a knock against the next artist, because he's really good too. It's just, you know, I really love Alex Ross's work and would like to see him do the full run.
Exactly.
I think the writer is Chris Robertson. I mean, I don't think I've read anything by him, honestly, but it's actually pretty decent. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot going on. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but, you know, I look forward to even, you know, getting the next issue, even though, you know, Alex Ross isn't working on it.
Would Alex Ross still be doing, like, covers, at least?
I don't know. I have no idea about that, Cody.
What was that?
I said, would Alex Ross still be doing covers for Mass?
Yeah, he's doing covers. He's just not doing interiors.
Yeah.
He does variant covers for a ton of the Dynamite comics. So
yeah, especially with Bionic Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
The next book I'd like to talk about, I'm just going to mention it briefly, is Thor: God of Thunder, number one. It's Jason Aaron and Isad Rebic. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I don't know. I guess cut that out so I can say it. Isad Rebic. That was actually really surprising. There's one scene in the book that I was just amazed at. It had these two. I can't really do it, say it without spoiling it, but it was just, it's a really cool book. I was surprised because Thor is usually a boring read for me. You know, the art was spectacular for, you know, first issue, and as it should be, Captain America number one. But the art was great and the writing was pretty good, so I'm look forward to the rest of that. And that is all I have to say about the comic.
Well, listeners, that's all the time that we have for today. Don't forget to add Comic Book Therapy on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Comic B Therapy. Please be kind and leave any feedback about today's show. Any questions or concerns regarding the Tudor podcast, or you want to build a shrine of us beautiful people for you to put in your closet, follow the Weekly Dose team on Twitter. We are at The Thorverine, at Wolverine PT, at NCrub 1986, and at Movie Mariotto.
And Witty doesn't have one.
And Witty doesn't have Twitter?
Because I'm not a 13-year-old girl.
Where can people send a fax to you, Witty?
Yeah. You can either send a fax to Witty, or also you could just write
a message on the Geek Boy Movies.
Josh, Geek Boy Movie.
Yep. All complaints and struggles you may experience, as I already said, direct them all to our Geek Boy Movie. Thank you all for listening. And be sure to be on the lookout for a new contest to win a date with the governor. He may or may not be fond of you.
5, 4, 3, 2,
engage.
Dose. Prescribed by Comic Book Therapy.